If you will, in your Bibles, Romans chapter 5, three verses of scripture. Chapter 5 is a beautiful chapter. All of them are beautiful chapters, you ask me. So if I say that's one of my favorites, you say it's a whole, everything in there is favorite. But in chapter 5, verse 19, it says this: "For as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law is entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for your blessings. Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us and give us. And Lord, may we realize just how much you have blessed us with. And we thank you for the grace. Lord, I give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. This is a picture here in Romans that though our lives have been ruined by sin, we have been rescued by God's grace. And I don't know about you, but grace works in all of our lives. It works in mine. I thank God for His grace. I don't deserve it, but God's grace is there. He gives it to us. It's that gift. And there's three things I want us to look at tonight, and then it'll be shorter than it was this morning. You can't take near as long as now. So God's grace is able to eliminate sin. Think about that just a minute. God's grace is able to eliminate sin. I don't know about you, but sin is a problem, isn't it? Anyone who tries to live a good, clean life quickly comes to a conclusion that sin is a problem in our lives. It will not go away. And while it is true we sin by choice, you know that seed of sin reaches deep down in people's character. And I hear people all the time telling me, you know, it crops up every once in a while. It springs forth every once in a while. Well, if we're not careful, sin becomes our master. And on our own, we find ourselves helpless. You ever try to stop doing something and you find yourself continually doing it? And it becomes your master. And the more you try not to do it, it seems like you do it. And sin destroys our lives through its presence. It destroys our life through its power that is displayed in our lives and through our lives, and we pay a penalty for the sin that we do. There's always a penalty. And if I can make you understand, young people, that you don't have to sow wild oats. I hear people say, well, you know, they're just sowing a few wild oats. You'll pay a penalty for that. You'll pay a price for that. Why do it? Why go there to start with? Why not live a good, clean, moral life with the help of God and His grace? You can do that because, you know, right here it says God's grace is able to eliminate that sin. And Paul explains that grace eliminates sin. In our own selves, we find ourselves helpless. But with God's grace, with God's help, He eliminates that. One, eliminates the penalty of sin. You know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. And the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death, eternal separation from God. But sin leads us to eternal separation. But God's grace, through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, builds that bridge and reunites us with God, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's God's grace. God's grace is given to us to eliminate that penalty. Otherwise, we'd die and go to hell. That's what we deserve. Amen? But God's grace eliminates that. He's made a way through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And oh, if we can just get that in our minds today, that God gives us that grace. It's something that we don't deserve. It's there for us, and He wants us to take hold of it. He wants us to use it in our lives, have it in our life. It also eliminates the power of sin. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. Think about the misery that exists. The misery that exists in this world, and what brings on most of the misery in this world, it's all tied to sin. Most of the human sufferings is a result of somebody's sin. Somebody sinned, and therefore the result. I see families separated because somebody sinned in that family. I see families separated because somebody sinned and they shot some innocent person. I see some families separated because somebody was sinning and wrecked the car and killed the innocent people. And if you tie it all back, it comes right back to this old thing of suffering. All human suffering is because of someone's sin. The Bible says death came into the world by Adam's sin. One man's disobedience, it says. Death came to all men. And in that power, many people never live happy, successful lives. They let Satan dominate them. They let that sin dominate them. And they never know a real productive life. If you want to be happy, you're not going to find it in sin. All the Bible says, it looks good for a season, but it leads to destruction. It leads to death. And it keeps people from having abundant life. It keeps people from enjoying the Christian life, what God put us here for. And Paul says, God's abundant provision of grace is to all those who receive it, all those who let it rain in their life, let it flow in their life. Sin won't have dominion over you if you let God's grace just reign in your life. If you want to have that kind of power, let God reign in your life. It doesn't have to have dominion over you. Sin doesn't. So God's grace eliminates the penalty of sin, and God's grace also is able to give us power in our life. It also eliminates the power, presence of sin. Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded. I like that much more. Just doesn't say more, much more. Verse 20 says, where sin increased, grace increased all the much more. I read a book about, I can't even remember his name now, he's a famous preacher. He said in that book, because of grace, I sin all that I want to. And then he added, because of grace, I sin more than I want to. You see, friends, God's grace in our lives drives us to be holy, you see. Drives us to be holy. It's there. He gives it to us so that we can have holy lives. And sin destroys that. So if God's grace is in our life, we don't want to sin, do we? We don't want to fall short. We don't want to go out and live unholy, unrighteous lives. With God's grace, it eliminates that presence of sin in our lives, so that when we sin, we really don't want to do that and we won't do that. Or when we are tempted to go someplace, you know, that we shouldn't go, we just don't go. Why? Because we're full of God's grace. And it keeps us to live a holy life. And there's nothing that His grace can't erase in our life. I thank God that He just washes our slate clean when we confess our sin. God's grace is able to eliminate sin. And then God's grace is able or available in endless supply. Look at it. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Look at back in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, there's the same words again, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive grace, God's grace, we receive forgiveness. I don't know about you, but there's not a person here. I need forgiveness. And I just imagine there's not a person in this building tonight that doesn't need or needs forgiveness in their life for something in their life. When we talk about sin, and there's a lot of sin going on today, what do you think that the worst sin would be? If you could make a list of sins, what would you put on the top of that list? Anybody want to tell me what they'd put on top of that list? Unbelief. What else? Murder. You know, that's one I was thinking of. Murder. Why would we say murder instead of adultery? Blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But murder can't be undone, can it? When you murder somebody, you take that life for good. You know what I'm talking about? And that when I hear people start talking about sin, they will say something like this: well, preacher, I've never killed anybody. Well, that's good that you've never killed anybody. I've heard that many a time. I've never killed anyone. Our society believes that murder tops the number one list of sin. Now, think about that. With that in mind, murder, it's surprising that three of the most significant men in the Bible committed murder. Have you ever thought about that? Three of the most significant men in the Scripture, other than Jesus, committed murder. Were guilty of murder. Who's that? Paul, David, and Moses, okay? Or you can go back and say Moses, David, and Paul. But murder is a permanent thing, and once you do it, it can't be undone. But let me tell you something. It can be forgiven. It's because of God's grace eliminates sin, and because of God's grace, it's available, an endless supply that we can receive forgiveness of sin. Now, don't go out and murder somebody and say, well, I'm going to get forgiveness. Paul says, God's abundant provision. There is no sin that can overpower God's grace. Look in chapter 8. I read it this morning. Chapter 8, I love that scripture down in chapter 8. It says, what can separate me from, or who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. None of those things can separate us from God's love. His grace is abundant there. I thank God for the endless supply of His grace. Because we fall short, don't we? We stumble, we fall into sin, and every day, well, you know, every day we need that forgiveness. And God's grace is there. It's available, an endless supply of it. Now, just because it's an endless supply doesn't mean that we ought to go out and sin. He says, God forbid that we should do that. Righteousness, God's righteousness is available. Friends, we receive free gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. By God's mercy, we have been put off. We've been rescued from a ruined life to a good life, a holy life. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's there. We are made right through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is our righteousness. Man, I don't have anything good about my life. Oh, I know a lot of things that I've done through the past that are good, but really that doesn't get you into heaven. I was talking about, we'll be talking about the lady that passed away, my brother's mother-in-law. Fine Christian lady, one of the finest Christian ladies I know of. I've never really heard her say anything bad about anybody. I've known her for 40-something years, and she's always been in church. She's always been abiding. I've told her, used her example many times up here. She's the lady that her husband says, I don't want you to go to church. So she stayed home. She was an obedient wife. And then after about two Sundays, he said, go on back to church. You're making me miserable, you see. But he got saved. He's been preaching now since I have. Oh, it's going to be a great celebration time, I know. But, you know, that is the strength. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's given to us by God's grace. And, folks, we're made right by God through His grace. And then strength. When you read and see Paul's life, I think, is one of victory. I think it's one of joy. You know, you say, well, how can you have joy when you're beaten with rods, almost to death, when you have marks all over your body of the mistrials and the tribulations that he's gone through? How can you have joy, preacher, when somebody stones you so bad they leave you for dead? How can that be a joyful life? Well, it can be. Paul says it can be, for he says, you know, I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. Henceforth, all that's left for me is the righteousness which the Son of God is going to give me, the righteous judge. You know what? He overlooked all of the heartaches and things like that. He had his eyes focused on the heavenly things. And let me tell you, when you get your eyes off your problems and off the trials and the temptations that come along your way, and you look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, a Christian life is a joyful life. Paul had a life of fulfillment in his life, and you know it because you can just see it the way he wrote the words of the Bible here, and as he talks. And as I read a while ago, he says, nothing is going to separate me from God. You know, I had my eyes fixed on God all this time. I didn't have my eyes fixed on the problems. You can look at the problems, or you can look at the joy in serving God. And he said, I count it all joy. Sin shall not be your master, he says. And he speaks of God's abundance when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's in Philippians. You see, Paul didn't say, well, you know, life is tough. I just don't have any strength. If I speak up, they're going to whip me and beat me and stuff like that. So I think I'll just keep quiet. I won't cause any trouble. I ain't going to stir the waters any. And let me tell you something. He would have lived a miserable life. and he could have come to the end of his journey instead of saying, I am ready, God. I'm ready for my departure. He wouldn't have been ready, would he? He said, he wouldn't have said, I have fought. He said, you know, I just kind of stayed back. Instead of, I have fought the good fight, he said, you know, I hadn't done anything really with what God has blessed me with. And folks, I believe a lot of Christians in our churches are just like that. God has blessed us. God has poured out his blessings on our church. Instead of getting involved, we say, well, I think we'll just sit back and let somebody else do it. I hear people all the time tell me, well, preacher, I put in my time. Now I'm going to sit back and let somebody else do it for a while. That's not service. If you said, I put in my time, it was a chore for you. You see, it's kind of like, well, I did it because I had to do it, but I don't have to do it no more, so I'm just going to take off and let somebody else work a little while. Working for God ought to be a joy in your life. We don't need a bunch of quitters. We need those that will, hey, get involved. When you can quit? Not when I say so, but when God says so. And when he says go to quit, I think he'll take you on to heaven because we're to work all the way. Our journey is not complete until he gets through with us. And he's not through with us as long as we're breathing, you see? So work for the Lord. Get involved. Be committed. And enjoy God's grace. It's an unlimited supply. He gives us forgiveness, he gives us strength, and he gives us his righteousness. We need that. And then God's grace enables us to experience salvation. Look at verse 21. Verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Adam, we experience corruption with sin. We experience spiritual death. He said, Adam, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. He was talking about separation from God, spiritual death. But because of God's grace, I read it this morning, there is no condemnation, you see? Opportunity to unite with Christ. An opportunity to have eternal life, no matter how good a person might be. If you haven't experienced God's grace, you've missed it. You can't be good enough to get your way into heaven. I was ruined by sin. I love that old song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. We may have been ruined by sin, but the good news is, Jesus Christ came and rescued us by his grace. And there is nothing that God's grace can't erase. And therefore, we have freedom from the past. You don't need to drag your past behind you. Some people always tell you, well, you know, I don't know. I've lived a pretty bad life. What are you saying? You're saying that God's grace is not sufficient to rescue you from the past. And if you think that, you're probably not saved because God, when he saves you, he forgives you once and for all. And the past is just like that in the past. Where does he say? He said, I'll cast your sin into the sea. It's as far as the east from the west. God's not going to bring it up. God's not going to worry about you dragging it behind. Only you're doing that. And the devil is reminding you of that. Hey, claim the blood of Jesus Christ. Claim that his grace is sufficient and go on from that point. Sin no more, he told the woman. He didn't say, hey, woman, you know, sin no more. You remember all that past you done, that was enough. He didn't say that. He said, get up, go, and sin no more. I have forgiven you, you see. Man, isn't it good that God rescued us? It's great news that we have a loving God that came and died on the cross. His grace is sufficient for all that we need. Why not live like it and claim the freedom that we have in Christ? If you're here tonight, I suppose most of us here know Jesus Christ. Some of you may not. I don't want to take anything for granted. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, would you come for salvation, you need to. If you can't say, preacher, tonight for certainty, I know that I'm saved. I know when I was saved. I know that Jesus' blood shed on the cross, forgiveness of my sin, I by faith trust that. If you don't know that, you've never done that, then you need to get saved. You need to come to know Him so that you can be sure. If you have, then why don't you commit your life to Christ? Give your life to Jesus and say, Lord, forget the past. It's behind me. From this day forward, I want to serve You. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for Your blessings. I thank You, Lord, for our people. I thank You for this church. And God, just lift it up. Lord, continue to strengthen it. Lord, we just pray for our people that they may grow in wisdom and knowledge. Lord, that they may be strong pillars of the faith in this town, in our county, in the world. We give You all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.